Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 19, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most just do not realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin and look to the look to the world, look to the holy city, look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, then if you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request or message. prayer request or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. Okay. Now, you can always find updates with the mission, the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Now remember, we are a national satellite program. We simulcast live on the net internationally on YouTube and on some FM stations. So please pray about sporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, Auckland, New Zealand, Espoo, Finland, Paris, France, Lagos, Nigeria, and, of course, cities in the good old USA, such as Austin, Texas, San Francisco, California, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Buffalo, New York, and Plano, Texas, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners, at least when they go to our podcast later on tonight. Okay. We're working on getting our guest, and so we'll bring a prayer, and we'll see what happens after the break. Or not break, but after the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray tonight I still am praying, Father, for a quick recovery for the families and all the people that have been in so many tragedies in this United States. Whether it be the Vegas shooting, it really troubles me. The storms, we have so many people there hurting. Puerto Rico was almost flattened, and they don't have any power, and it's going to be months before they get power back. So, Father, I'm just asking in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that you help heal our nation. And I pray that radio night tonight goes according to your will, not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. Well, Father, amen and amen. Well, I'm sorry, folks. I'm just a little distracted. But tonight we're going to talk about the Vegas massacre. This is a horrendous thing. There's been so many different stories going around. And originally we were going to talk with Leo Holman on it, and for some reason we're not able to get our guest. But we do have somebody that talks about it a lot. He talks about it on his radio program. And we're going to bring him on here in a minute. But the point is, folks, that there's so much different stories. Why is the FBI so silent? You know, one of the most amazing things that I saw was really by the FBI, and I felt it was very revealing. On one of the broadcasts I was watching, there was an agent that was speaking. I don't remember his name. I wished I would have, but I didn't get his name. But there was a look on his face, and he said something to the effect that it wasn't that there wasn't any leads, but he made the indication like it was taking him all over the world. And he had a really a funny look on his face that, you know, of emotion, and it was almost a scared look. And so I don't know what that meant. But to me, that was very telling that something else was going on. And why did this man disappear? And, you know, the witness, he disappeared, but yet he showed up on Ellen's show. Well, these questions and a few more I'm going to ask our special guest tonight, because we're bringing Frank Stepan on, who he is the founder of American Voice Radio. He also has his own talk radio program that he does one or two times a day, and it's called The Frank Report, where Frank is very frank about things. And so I know he has some great comments and some information for us, so we're going to bring Frank Stepan on. Are you there with us today, Frank?
I am, Dan.
Well, I almost tried to get it out of you about a week or so ago, and of course I had another guest, but I am really curious what your take is on this Vegas, I'll call it Vegas massacre or shooting. What's the best word for it, shooting or massacre?
False flag fiction.
Well, false flag. Well, then that leaves a lot open. I guess you're going to have to tell us who the false flag is, for what purpose, and everything else. Because I consider there's really some, you know, usually, let's go with this. With most false flags, you've got to kind of dig for information, you know. And it's hard to convince a lot of the people, but there is so much conflicting information out there that it's easy to say something's up. So what's up, Frank?
Well, you know, there's a lot of theories. People got all kinds of theories, and I'm no different. But one thing I try to do with stuff that I think's happening is I try to base it on evidence that I've come across, and you know, and you put things together. Any one little bit of evidence isn't going to really demonstrate or give you an answer to the big picture. But when you put a lot of different things together, and now you're looking at, I mean, imagine just walking around and, you know, you got a bag and you're walking around through town and you pick up something, you throw it in your bag, you pick up something else, you throw it in your bag, and you go all the way through town and you throw it in your bag and you get home and your bag's, you know, half full. So you dump your bag out on the table and you look at all the stuff you've collected and then you start arranging it. How does it go together? How does this, you know, how can these things work together? How does this work? And that, you know, that's what I try to do, and I think a lot of other people do too. And, you know, the thing is, people use different evidence and they come up with different conclusions even when they use the same evidence. And, you know, that's all we're left with when we know, okay? It's just, it goes back to 9/11. And this is what I was saying then too, because, you know, there's tons of theories about what happened. And, you know, I don't know what happened. I don't know what's right and what's not right about what happened. Almost every theory has parts of it that you go, that seems, that seems making sense, right? But they can't all be true, right? So, you know, something's not true and something is. But it's the best we can do when it's the same situation, and all we can say, and this should be enough for the American people to say, okay, well, in that case, you know what? We need to find out, because whatever happened, we know one thing for certain. The government narrative is not the truth. Right. They are not telling us the truth. We know that. Everybody knows that. There's pretty much no disagreement about that except, well, I mean, yeah, the sheriff can get up there and say, oh, yeah, we are telling you the truth. It's like, really, sheriff? Are you telling me the truth now, or were you telling me the truth last week when you told a totally different story than you're telling now? Or were you telling me the truth the week before that when it was a completely different story than last week and this week? You can't keep changing your stories and say that you're telling the truth.
Right. Okay. Let me take this side of the coin just to say something. Some people could look at the sheriff and not necessarily my opinion, but you could look at him and for the fact that he did seem like an excited guy, he seemed very much more stressful as each new report he gave. But could it be that the first time that he talked, that was the information that he had? He learned more afterwards, or is somebody feeding him something? Is he actually in control of what he says, or is it the FBI that's the one that, where I would really like to get to, is the FBI the one that's really pulling all the strings?
Yeah, I would say probably that's true, but who's pulling the FBI strings? Now, the handler from the FBI that always is standing right behind him to, like, make sure he doesn't say anything that he's not supposed to say. What's his name? H-O-U-S-E or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, guess
easily
who? Guess who he is?
No, I don't know. Who is he?
He's John Podesta's son-in-law.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
That's,
no, I'm not.
This starts to stink right from the first without him saying anything with that guy there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and then, do you know Mandalay Bay's top two floors are owned by the Saudi Arabians?
No, I didn't know they were owned by them.
Did you know that the parent company, MGM, is, I'm not sure if it's a majority or a minority ownership of MGM by the Saudi Arabians.
Right. Well, what about, now Soros has something to do with Mandalay Bay too, doesn't he? Or have you heard that part of it?
No, I haven't.
Stockholder, he's a stockholder or something in it.
Oh, he'd have to be
bring
that.
Up, yeah, I'd have to bring up the information, but it's a huge, it's a noticeable amount because it was brought out from the first, but I'm amazed that it wasn't, that I haven't seen the reports about the Saudi Arabians. So this really, really already stinks to high heaven. What really troubles me, what did you think about, you know, I could get it if the guy chickened, you know, I'm talking about the witness now, you know, if the guy kind of chickened out and you know, didn't want to talk on Fox News, or I think actually somebody probably showed up there and snatched him, is my opinion.
No, I wasn't, but just somebody either, Dan. It was the MGM Corporation. They have been handling this guy. If you look everywhere, all the statements made are coming from straight from MGM. MGM is handling this guy. MGM decided he would go on Degenerate's show rather than Fox News. They're the ones handling this guy. He gets on Degenerate and his story's completely different than what he had said before. You know, MGM is handling this through the Saudi, and it's at the behest of the Saudi Arabians, because I really believe ISIS was telling the truth. They did this. ISIS did this. This guy was a gun runner, okay?
Right.
And he was probably running guns to ISIS, and they found out, oh, through the FBI, that, hey, you know what? This is a great patsy here. We got him running guns for us. The FBI's involved. Why do you think he had cameras outside his door? Is that, who does that? Who's allowed to do that? Are you allowed to just, like, oh, hi, I'm staying in your hotel for a few days, and now I'm going to set up my own camera surveillance around in the hallways? I don't think so. They don't allow that, okay? But they allowed it here. Why? Oh, well, they would allow it if the FBI said, hey, we're running a sting operation up on the 32nd floor, and we need your cooperation, and they would do it, okay? They would do it, or they would be harassed and shut down from that time on. You either cooperate with these thugs if you're a business, or you're going out of business, and that's the simple fact of it. That's how they play the game. So here he is up there, and boom, hey, what a great idea. We got this guy running guns to ISIS, and now here comes ISIS and FBI, and they turn on him, shoot him, kill him, break his leg, which nobody mentions he had a broken leg. But the thing is, now, boom, all these people get shot. ISIS gets on and says, hey, yeah, that's right, we did it. And right away, the FBI goes, stop, nope, get out of here, nope, no, you didn't, no, you didn't, they didn't do it. There's no evidence of that, there's no evidence at all. And this is 10 minutes after it happens. No evidence at all they did it, didn't happen, they didn't do it, Lone crazy gunman, that's what it is. It's a Lee Harvey Oswald thing, that's how it is, and that's what they did. I think it is ISIS, I think it is Antifa, I think they're the same ones, just because they're funded by the same people. Gee, why would that mean anything, huh?
Okay, now that's a lot of room to thought. Okay, I was thinking, you know, I read an article today about how ISIS could lose out if they were lying about it, and there's a lot of things that, you know, it would just be totally it'd be bad for them if they were lying about it, you know what I mean, and it proved to be something different. But let's go back with this. So if it was an ISIS thing, then why would the FBI shut it up? You know what I'm saying?
They've got another narrative here, and their narrative is ISIS isn't the problem. ISIS isn't the danger. Muslims aren't the problem. They're not the terrorists. The terrorists are the lone gunman American domestic terrorists. That's what they've been trying to push for the last couple of years. Obama was trying to push that, and they still haven't stopped because Trump has so far failed to get rid of the Obama holdovers in his administration. And they're still in there working the same scheme where they're trying to say, no, the Arabs aren't any problem. They're not a danger. ISIS isn't terrorists. This, everything's okay. It's that white supremacist American domestic terrorist, the lone wolf. That's who we have to. You know why? Because there's nothing they can do about that except go and say, well, and the only way we can stop lone wolves is to make sure nobody has guns for your own protection. That's their narrative. It's been their narrative. And part of the reason I believe that, why would they do this? Why would they push this now? And some people think, well, they just want to destroy America. And I do believe that's their overall goal. But for right now, see, they can't destroy America unless they get some Democrats elected. Okay?
Right.
Whether they got an R behind their name or not. Okay? They need to get communists in there. And they're not going to get any communists in there unless they can turn this around, because nobody... Look, every time the Democrats have run in the last, 2 years, they've lost every time.
Yeah.
No matter how much money they spend, they lose. Why? Because nobody likes them. Nobody wants their communist agenda. Okay? Everybody's gotten wise. Finally, after all these decades of, being bamboozled by them, finally people are catching on and saying, you know what, we've had enough of that. Let's try something different. So what do? Well, we got to have something. So what do they got? They can't. What are they going to say? They're going to get out there and say, hey, we should have open borders. We love the Mexicans. Oh, wait, we better not say that because nobody agrees with us. Okay? Hey, we love NAFTA. NAFTA's great. Oh, wait, well, we better not say that either because, you know, nobody likes NAFTA and they want to get rid of it. Hey, Obamacare's the most wonderful. Oh, we can't say that either because, you know, nobody likes Obamacare and everybody wants to kill it except the Republican shills in Congress. So they have nothing to run an election on. What's going to be their point? Well, what their point's going to be is gun control.
That sounds really reasonable. I get it, and I get what you're saying, and I've watched them do that in the past. My only problem is that doesn't seem to – I don't see that outcry, you understand, among the voters because, the Trump voters are America is still standing strong. They still want no gun control like this and so on and so forth. So it doesn't look like that mission has been accomplished. What do you think?
Well, now that's what is reality. But now there's that – Quinnipiac poll out that says, Americans want gun control, they want this, they want bump stocks banned, they want assault weapons banned, they want this. And they're going, 60, 70, 80% want this, want that, want... And nobody wants that. They're just making up polls, they're creating a scenario that they plan on enforcing. Because they don't have anything else, for one. For two, they really, really, really need to get everybody's guns. Hey, they cannot proceed until they have disarmed the average American person. And Dan, right now, America's saying, yeah, we see what's going on. We're not doing this. But you know what? If you think they're done killing people, you better think again. Because George Soros just transferred $18 billion from his personal money to his organizations, his open societies organizations. These are the ones that are funding ISIS and Antifa and Black Lives Matter and every other communist group out there trying to overthrow the American Republic.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a fact. I've seen that. And I thought, did I see that number correctly? And then I said, okay, well, he's getting ready for war, for some kind of a problem. Otherwise, he wouldn't have transferred that kind of money over there.
That's right.
And he has, in everything out there that is just about everything that's out there about communists, whether it's the protest or whether, you know, as we know that he was paying the original Ferguson protesters and other people. We know that he's got Hillary Clinton, he's backed her, Obama, he's backed her. He has tentacles in everything. My question is who is Soros connected to? You never hear anybody talk about that. Is he such a loner that despises everything, or is he in with some other people? Do you ever heard? Do you know anything about that? Back to you.
Well, other than the circle around him, and I guess what you're asking is there somebody above him, and I have no idea. I know he has associates, he has employees, he has minions like Obama and Clinton and, you know, people like that. But as far as somebody like calling him up and saying, okay, George, here's what you're going to do tomorrow, I don't know. I don't even presume there might be. I don't know. This guy could be really hey, look, his own country, Hungary, the leaders over there are saying that this guy is of Satan. You know, I mean, they're coming straight out and saying he is pushing a Satanist agenda and he works for Satan. This is what Hungary is saying, okay? You know, I'm talking high-ranking officials in the Hungarian government are saying this about George Soros, and they're drafting laws to arrest him on sight if he ever sets foot there again. You know, Russia's got a warrant out for him. If he ever sets foot in Russia, he's going to prison. I mean, this guy is, you know, bad news, and I don't know if there's somebody telling him what to do or he's really, you know, the fountainhead of evil.
Right, right. Well, we better go to break, and we'll come back and talk about it some more. Tell them where you can find your program.
Right here on AmericanVoiceRadio.com. And you can also go, let's not forget Galaxy 19 for those of you out there with a KU-band satellite, radio stations out there that have KU-band satellites. Galaxy 19.
All right, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes. We'll talk more.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and we're speaking to you broadcasting on the American Voice Radio Network. You know, time goes really fast, folks. Every time I blink my eyes, the seasons change or another month's gone by. Some people say it's age, and I think it's just because I'm busy, because I'm not willing to admit age. I mean, I'm only 62 and in good shape, right? Okay, anyway. But I blink my eyes, and time just goes by. And now, here we are. We just got done with all the feasts. But, hey, where are we coming up? Thanksgiving. And I know I'll blink my eyes and I'll be right in it. It's already the 19th of the month. And so, you know, it was pointed out to me that I needed to start getting some sponsors in for our biggest day of the year at the Wichita Mission Church. Well, some of you folks out there, well, what's that? Well, what's your family's biggest day in America? Well, hopefully it's Thanksgiving. That's a time when we all give thanks to the Father, and you know, we don't have to think about politics. We used to think about football, but I doubt very seriously if we'll play football this year at the Mission Church for the folks. But anyway, moving right along with that, it's the biggest day of the year. We do Thanksgiving on Thursday. We open up and we're packed with people all day long. And we do Thanksgiving on another day. You know what day that is? Friday. So we do it Thursday and Friday. We do Thanksgiving 2 days in a row at the Wichita Mission Church. It is the biggest day of the year. Like I say, the biggest 2 days of the year. And all the folks come pouring in. And not all of them are homeless. Some are just poor in the neighborhood that don't have money for a Thanksgiving dinner. And some people are people that maybe now they do have some money, but they're still lonely, and they come back and they want to visit. and they treat us like family. Why do they treat us like family? Because we treat them like family. And that's why people come to us in the first place, because we are a place. We don't stand over you and act like an agency, or that I'm a church, so I'm holier than thou than you. You know, you're just a worthless sinner. No, actually, you know what? I see more ethics among most of these homeless and poor people than I ever do of the people in the normal population. Maybe I've just brushed shoulders with the wrong people, but I will tell you that most of it was like, well, let's go with this. I had a brother call me from another state, and he wanted to know what to do about his homeless problem. You see, at his church, he had homeless people coming into the church in the mornings, and he really didn't know how to handle it. And so we talked, and I told him, well, you just treat a homeless person just, or a poor person just like you treat anybody else. You're not supposed to, you know, give them the best seat or give the rich person the best seat. You're just supposed to treat everybody as the same. And that's what we do at Messiah's Branch. We treat everybody that comes in the doors the same, which means that if you walk in the door and you got a suit and tie on, well, and I'm talking to somebody, just because you got a suit and tie on don't mean I'm going to break off talking to one of these homeless or poor people and come over and talk to you. I might say I acknowledge you, but I will finish my conversation first. Because we are supposed to treat everybody the same, and that's what we do. So we embrace the folks over there, and they embrace us, and so this is a family day, you know, actually 2 days. So pray about it. You folks over there in Wichita, my wife told me to point out, you want to know what to bring? Well, what do you eat for Thanksgiving dinner? This is our 18th Thanksgiving over there, which I love Thanksgiving. I'm sure Frank and everybody else does, but here's the point. We figured that the poor needed it. And so it was still our favorite holiday of the year, one of our favorite holidays of the year. So we gave it up to do it with the homeless and poor so they could have a family time. So what do you eat for Thanksgiving? Do you eat pies? Well, the homeless and poor eat pies, so you could bring a pie over. Do you like turkey and dressing? Well, you could donate it. If you want to cook a turkey and some dressing, we'll bring it on over. You know, whatever you eat for Thanksgiving, they eat for Thanksgiving. It's just kind of like people say, well, what do the homeless and poor need? Well, they need what you need. You need a razor? They need a razor. You need to use deodorant? They need deodorant. You wear clothing? Well, they wear clothing. They're just the same as me and you, folks. So pray about it. We really do need your support. Well, I know it looks like from what I read today, the unemployment rates are going way, way down, and people are going back to work, and people seem to are starting to have more money. Well, it hasn't reflected that in our donations, and I think that's really because of all the disasters that are going on, because people, you know, they tend to donate where they feel the biggest need is. Well, right now, I agree, there's a huge need, whether it's Puerto Rico or Texas or Florida or wherever. There's so many disasters out there, and even California. There's so many disasters out there that people are donating to those things. So we really do need your help, because we're going on a shoestring, and it's just not very good, folks. Anyway, so pray about it. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. And you know what? You're hearing this message because of why? We're on satellite radio, and we're on FM station. We're on YouTube Live. We are coming to you live, not only on those things, but we're coming to you live just over the internet. You can go over and click on and hear us live on the internet through several different things. All of these things cost money. This church, that's what Messiah's Branch is, it's a church. We don't sell anything. And so the only reason that we can pay airtime and stay on the air is if you donate to that. And so we really, really do need your help. So pray about it. Airtime hasn't been paid all the way this month, and so pray about airtime. And folks, remember, you know, Messiah's Branch is the last hope for so many people. And folks, we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't, again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free. And again, donations is what keeps us on the air. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back talking about the massacre, and we don't know where this is all going to lead, with Frank Stephan, who is the founder of American Voice Radio and does his own hard-hitting program called The Frank Report. All right, Frank, you're still there with me, I assume, because I guess I'm not off the air.
Nope, I'm here.
Anyway, talking about Soros money, you know, going back to that for a moment, you know, how many billion did you say that was? 18?
Yep, 18 billion.
And he and look at all the people that he donates to. There is a war going on that we're not even seeing. And it's for the heart and soul of this country.
Well, and the reason why, Dan, is because nobody reads history. Nobody understands the Communist Revolution of 1917. Okay, nobody reads any of that. Nobody looks at any of that. Everybody just throws around words, communist, Nazi, blah, blah, blah. Nobody recognizes because they haven't learned. And it's a failure of the public school system because this is a big, big, big thing in history that if you're going to teach any history at all, world history, I mean, the 1917 Communist Revolution has to be in there, and it isn't. Nobody's teaching it. The bottom line is this should not become a surprise to anybody out there because this is their operating manual. This is how they have it. Look, they had two groups. They had Trotsky and Lenin when they started out. And they're like any other groups. You know, they got different ideas. They all want to end up in the same place, but they got different ideas about how to get there, right? So
right.
One group of the communists said, what we need to do is what we did here. You know, we need to grab guns, kill the leaders, and take over, right? You know, and there's a group that says, yeah, let's do that. That worked here, right? Well, there was the other group that said, no, that worked here, but it isn't going to work everywhere. And what we need to do is we need to infiltrate existing governments from the inside, destroy them. All right? Well, guess which group won? That group won.
Yeah.
Because Trotsky ran the other group, and he got killed by Lenin, and then Lenin took over and went the way of, hey, we need to, you know, we need to shore up what we're doing here, and we need to start infiltrating other governments. And that's exactly what they've done. And they do it through groups like George Soros and many others. He's not the only one. He's just the biggest one, you know. And this is what goes
right
on. So it really shouldn't be a surprise. We really should be able to recognize what's going on just because, oh, yeah, you know what, I read this in history, and this is exactly what the communists in the Communist Revolution were talking about doing, and golly, they've even written it down in a lot of books. Look at that. It's exactly the same. Do you think it could be them?
Well, and I do go back to the school system and the educational process because, you know, that actually that's part of the plot, of course. And they did a good job of it. To me, I've been watching it ever since I was young in the Vietnam War because I couldn't figure out, you know, I just wondered about where all the ideas came from, you know, to the students and everything. And you could see even those protests way back in the 60s were paid for by communist organization if you follow the money trail. So it's been real apparent, and they're actually winning the war because you say communism to a lot of these young people, Frank, and they think it's, well, that's cool. You know, Che Guevara, you know, who is was a maniac, you know, serial killer, basically. Back to you.
Yeah, he was just a thug with an idea. That's all. You know, I mean, yeah, okay, a lot of thugs don't even have an idea. He was a thug with an idea, so that's all he is. But they're shining up to communism because this is what they've been taught for 12 years in school, that communism's okay. They don't call it communism. They disguise it in names like social justice, universal, funding or whatever, a fee, you know. They come up with all these different terms, and they never use the word communism because, see, everybody's wise to that. You mentioned communism, except to the younger generation, and I'm talking the 20-somethings.
Right.
They're completely lost when it comes to this because they've been taught for 12 years in school and probably 4 years in college that, oh, communism's the way to go. It's where everybody's equal. And, you know, on paper, that is communism. It's just great. It sounds wonderful. It's just like, oh, we're all going to live in a commune and we're all going to do whatever we know how to do, but we're all going to share equally. Isn't that going to be great, Dan? That's going to be swell, you know? And yeah, okay. And how many communes are there in America right now? Not very many. Okay, there's probably a few, but there's not very many. People tried it in the 60s. You know, the hippies tried it in the 60s.
Right.
Because they thought, you know, and the thing is, it's not that the communists started the Vietnam War, okay? It's the fact that a situation arose to where the youth of America were sick of being basically shot out of a cannon into a wall, okay?
Right.
And they said, look, this is a bad deal for us. We don't like this. We're against this. And then right away, man, here comes the communists. Just like the unions, when the workers said, you know what, this is a raw deal. We're sick of being worked to death and ground up into the mud for nothing.
Right.
We're sorry, you're getting rich and we're getting nothing. We got to do something. Well, same thing there. Here comes the communists. What they do, they're like parasites. They're like vultures. They're like Hillary Clinton and Rahm Emanuel, who said, oh, never let a crisis go to waste, right? Well,
right.
That's the communist idea. Never let a crisis go to waste. You see somebody over there going, hey, this is a raw deal for me. You go over there and you go, you know what, Dan? You're right. That's a raw deal for you. You know what? We can help. You know what the answer is? The answer is communism, social justice. Everybody should be fair and equal and loving, and it should be like Disney World all the time, and that's what it should be, Dan. And you go, well, yeah, that's great. Yeah, you're right. That's how it should be. Well, that's the foot in, or the camel's nose into the tent, you know, whatever way you want to look at it. That's how they do it, and that's how they've done it, and they've been very successful at it because we've been asleep.
Right.
Hey, McCarthy tried to tell this country what was going on. He tried to say, listen, they are infiltrating our institutions. They're infiltrating our media so they can propagandize you. They're infiltrating our court systems so they can destroy the rule of law. They're infiltrating the Congress so they can, again, destroy the rule of law. They're infiltrating your churches so they can destroy your moral standards. He tried to tell everybody. But with the help of that little homosexual, J. Edgar Hoover, you know, for those of you out there thinking the FBI was ever good, sorry, they've never been good, ever. You cannot, I know there's biblical principles about you can't grow good stuff in crap soil.
Yeah.
You know, good fruit doesn't come from a bad tree.
That's the line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry, a dress-wearing little homosexual is the head of the FBI, that's a bad tree. You're going to get bad fruit. And we're seeing the harvest now of the FBI. We've seen it before with their FBI lab, with the FBI scandals, with James Comey lying through his teeth, letting Hillary Clinton go. I mean, you know, this is not just, oops. No, this has been going on for a long time, and there have been people that try to tell us. For people that don't know how McCarthy came to an end, Hoover destroyed him. Because, you see, there was lots of evidence to back up exactly what McCarthy was saying, because McCarthy had seen the FBI reports, okay? And he was out there just telling people, hey, you know, this is really going on, this is it. Hoover secretly said, okay, hey, tell you what, I'm going to give you this packet of documents, and you can announce it, and then you'll have the proof right there, and that'll be that, it'll be slam dunk. And McCarthy said, great. And so he got up there, where's the packet? Oh, the packet's not there. So what he ended up having to do was he did a speech anyway, except he did it with a blank piece of paper waving it around. Well, he got caught. There's nothing on that paper. You got no evidence. And he didn't. He had no physical evidence because J. Edgar Hoover said he was going to give it to him, and McCarthy had seen it with his own eyes.
Right.
But then, at the last minute, Hoover, nope, you're not getting it. And set him out there to be the fool. And that's what he looked like. Somebody just shooting his mouth off, going crazy, being paranoid. He has no evidence. He's waving a blank piece of paper around. He's a lunatic. And that's how they painted him, and that's how they shut down that.
No, I didn't realize that at all.
Yep, through that little homosexual, J. Edgar Hoover.
Right, and so now they make a joke. Everybody makes a joke about or uses McCarthyism, you know, and like it's a bad thing, but it was in reality a good thing.
Well, he was, good or bad, he was correct, okay? He was just simply telling people what was going on. He had discovered it, he had seen the evidence, and he was going public with it. And they destroyed him.
Right. So now, let's jump into this. So, we see Trump trying to stand up, but, you just got to wonder, with as much as they've taken over and as much money and time that's been invested in, what do you want to call it, the communists, which is also the same thing, it's the globalist or whatever, New World Order, all of that's cut from that same poisonous tree. Does he have any kind of a chance? It just really makes me wonder. What do you think?
Now, what was the short
question? The question is, with everything that's against Trump, President Trump, does he have any kind of a chance to even stay in office or to do anything?
Yeah, of course he does. He has a chance, but, he's just not going to just happen, and he can't make a lot of mistakes. I mean, you can make a mistake here and there, but you can't. He's in a position where he cannot make a lot of mistakes, and it does depend on what he does. You know, he can't just do nothing, because no, he won't last. He has to play the game. He has to do what he can, and sometimes it's going to look to us as though, oh, Clinton turned, Trump turned his back on his promises. Trump isn't fulfilling his promises. Trump's making deals with the left. Trump's doing, and yeah, maybe he will. He's going to have to. He's going to have to play the game. He can't, he's by himself, basically.
Right.
Okay? I mean,
right.
He's surrounded by scumbags and traitors. I can't put it any nicer. They are traitors. Traitors to the American people. How do you feel about that, folks? You like that? Well, that's what Trump is surrounded by. Now, you might say, well, there's got to be a nice way we can deal with these illegal aliens. Well, maybe there is a nice way we can deal with them, but we have to deal with them. And you got to understand, the people in power, the deep state, if they call it, they don't want that. Okay, they want them here. They want this country destroyed. They have to have it, because other than that, your average American is not going along with the New World Order.
Right. Well, let's go with this real quick. From one of our authors, I can't remember which one, but I was going through his book again today, in fact, and it was talking about, he's got a whole chapter about Soros, and he said one of the ways that when Soros goes in and he wants to bring down a nation, which this guy has brought, folks, he's brought down lots of other democracies and nations across the world. But one of the first things he does, he goes in and he establishes a shadow government, so that's ready to take over when they bring down the government. And, Obama is part of it, and they all of it. So when you talk about deep state, all of this falls right back to where, if you follow the money, falls back to Soros, back to you.
Well, speaking about Soros, like Vladimir Putin says to George about George Soros, thank God we kicked you out of Russia. Okay, that's what Vladimir Putin says about him. And the prosecutors, the Russian Prosecutor General's Office has recognized George Soros' Open Society Institute and other affiliated organization as undesirable groups, banning Russian citizens and organizations from participation in any of their projects. So you got that, and then you got, you got China. How Beijing and Hong Kong sent billionaire George Soros packing the last time he attacked Asian markets. Quote, when billionaire investor George Soros said last week that a hard landing in the Chinese economy was unavoidable and that he was shorting Asian currencies, the country's central bankers could be forgiven if they recalled the poetic justice of a hard-won financial battle 18 years ago when Hong Kong was the battlefield and Soros was defeated. Now, with Soros knocking on China's door again, it's time to see whether China has learned any lessons. Well, they did. And then there's Hungary. Hungary announces that it will crack down on non-governmental organizations that are linked to billionaire globalist George Soros. Macedonia,
so, yeah.
Macedonia, same thing. Stop Operation Soros movement begins in Macedonia. People all around the world are getting wise to this creep.
But America.
Oh, well, not us, because, and people, I'm wise, you're wise, the listeners are wise, most Americans are wise. They've heard the name Soros, they know he's a dirtbag, But the thing is, our government has too many traitors in it, and they are profiting off of this guy. I mean, look at this guy, $18 billion. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I mean, we think Donald Trump's rich because his net worth is $10 billion. That's his whole net worth. This guy just transferred $18 billion of his own money to open society. What do you think he's living on? He's got more money.
Right, right.
And this is the first transfer. Just 5 years ago, he transferred $12 billion.
So we're going to – and I know there was a lot of money. My point is that it shocked me to the point of looking ahead. What's going to happen? We've got another election time coming up, and so there's going to have to be some things to completely discourage the American voters right now, because the American voter right now, you know, is mostly behind Trump. And I do say American voters because we're finding out, where we're actually seeing the proof starting to come out about all the illegals voting and so on and so forth. There's more of us than there are them, so it's going to be assault against us. Back to you, about 3 minutes.
Well, and this goes back to the whole thing that, you know, they have nothing. What I believe, anyway, I got no crystal ball, but from what I'm seeing, what I would predict that's going to happen is George Soros, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Valerie Jarrett, his little Iranian consultant there he has, what they're going to do is they're going to kill a bunch of people. And they're going to keep killing people until the American people say, oh my gosh, we've got to ban all guns. And that's what they're going for. See, this is what they're going for. They're going to make such a miserable situation that when the Democrat gets up there and goes, I'm running on, we want to ban guns and make you all safe. That's what I believe they're doing. And it's up to the American people to not fall for this. And, you know, I'm encouraged to a certain degree because people are getting smarter. They're not buying every, thing that comes down the pipe. We are getting jaded, and we are recognizing things like, gee, this smells like JFK's thing. And that was a lie, and everybody knows it. The magic bullet, please. You know, it's just, what can we do about it? Okay, nobody's going to go to jail because they're all dead, right? So,
right.
You know.
Yes, and they're fixing to release some information. I don't know if it's going to be anything. But.
Well, now, wait a minute. They're fixing on it, except guess what? The CIA is pressuring Trump to keep the 3,000 documents that they've got about it that have never been seen, to keep it locked up for another 25 years, even though everybody involved is dead. So what are they hiding?
Yeah,
it's got to make the CIA look awful bad, whatever that stuff is, because it's not making any person look bad because they're all dead. Anybody involved in that is dead. So what's the deal? What's the deal? Supposedly that's why it got locked up for 50 years, because you don't want to put any people in danger. So they're all dead now. There's no danger to them. So now the CIA wants another 25 years? Why? I hope Trump doesn't go for it, but you never know.
Yeah,
he might have to.
Right. All right. Well, Frank, tell them one more time when they can find your program, and I'll say goodbye.
2 p.m., 8 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday, right here on AVRN.
All right, folks, tune in and listen to Frank be Frank and get the true story. All right, folks. Pray about it. Anyway, I just heard back from my guest and that I was having tonight. He apologized to you folks and to me because he said he was so wrapped up with writing a really, really big, complex story that he forgot all about it. Well, I can't wait to see a story. It'll probably come out tonight on WorldNet Daily. We'll see. That's Leo Holman. We'll probably reschedule him for next week. That's what I'm going to try for. But anyway, folks, we must remember, really, there is only one God. Who is he? He's your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. So pray about it, folks. When we do Thanksgiving, we're thanking our Father, you know, for all the good things that he gave us. And sure, our Father corrects us from time to time because we're, you know, just face it, sometimes we're bad children. And so he needs to correct us. But that's who he is, and we need to honor him. And what better day? I mean, we should do it every day, but what better day than Thanksgiving? Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.